There are a lot of teenagers out there that have a lot of problems. But the truth is it's not their fault. I know, you're probably thinking, wow, you sound like a teenager. But it's really not a teenager's fault when they have all kinds of problems. Whose fault is it? It's your fault. I know, again, wow, you sound like a teenager. But the truth is when your teenager blames you for their problems, they might actually have some proof to back it up. And that's where we're going today. Wake the faith up, Monday morning slayer. It is the beginning of another week to kick Satan's tail. Please don't be one of those men that looks at the news and Facebook and lives in fear. Starts to panic. I heard this prophecy. I saw this newscast. I saw this speaker. Look, regardless of what the end of the times or the end times are, we still have the victory. We still win. Jesus is still on the throne. So take that. Take that and run your week with it. Thanks for reaching out to me at tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. Guys, have some of you listeners coming in and checking out Hillspring Church, my church in New Prague. Thanks for checking us out. You are always welcome. And if you're ever visiting the Minneapolis area, come check it out. We'd love to have you. Also, if you need a website, check out Webstix.com, Webstix.com. Tony Herman runs a company that is amazing, and he is the coolest cat on the net. So, you know, we started this series on adolescence, and we're probably going to finish up today, maybe a little tomorrow. But this week, I'm going to start on something after the next podcast or two, and it's going to be how to affair-proof your marriage. I just finished about a three-week study on that for a sermon I preached, and I'm going to break it down and do a three- or four-day podcast on how to affair-proof your marriage. Now, if you're not married, boy, this is the best time to listen to this because it's going to give you groundwork and a frame in which to build the next relationship you have so that from the ground up, it is rock solid. So regardless if you're single or married or divorced, you'll want to hear it. That's coming up very soon. Now, I want to talk to you about why difficult teenagers have problems and why when they say, well, it's your fault, that there might be some truth to that. I'm going to give you six reasons. And the first one is teenagers that have problems or that are difficult most likely have poor family hierarchies. What do I mean by that? I mean that the kids typically have more power than the parents. The parents have cowered, right? The parents aren't doing their job. They're not doing their job training, correcting, disciplining, punishing. See, the problem 20 years ago when we started handing out trophies for, you know, participation is people go, well, you know, it's not about winning. We want the kids to feel good. You're right. It's not about winning, but it is about accountability. And the best way to hold someone accountable is to take score. But when you give that up and you start making every kid feel special, guess what? The parents have to bow to that culture. Well, I can't make my kid feel bad. And all of a sudden, the kid has all the power. Number two, parents turn to outside sources for help. The police, a social worker, teachers, counselors, judges, medication, whatever. But you know what? In doing so, you as a parent, you just undermine your own authority, your own effectiveness. You've just said, I can't handle you. I can't do this. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the best relationship. I'm not in control. I need somebody else. And your teenager will run you into the ground with that. Yeah, I've seen it happen hundreds of times as a youth pastor. Number three, an adolescent's behavior is many times an attempt, whether conscious or unconscious, to shift the family's attention away from what's really going on. Look, there might be a real threatening problem in the marriage, like possible divorce, drug abuse, alcoholism, depression. But if that teenager, if he continues to cause trouble and be a pain in the butt, you focus on him, and it's a cover-up for what he's truly afraid of the real problem. And so you ignore the real problem so that all you have time for is to try to help your kid. Now, he may not even be smart enough to realize he's doing this, but guess what? He is. So sometimes you need to step back, and when your teenager is causing a bunch of problems or is difficult, ask yourself, is there something else going on in this relationship, in our home, that he's trying to cover, and he doesn't even realize it? Number four, A teen acts on the pleasure principle. What do I mean that by that? Well, whatever feels good immediately, they do. And they're willing to put up with the consequences later. Look, stealing a car is fun. It builds some camaraderie. There are some war stories you get to tell at school. And yeah, it's going to be hell to pay, but guess what? At the moment, it feels good, and they're willing to put up with the consequences. And why? Because we have failed at making consequences hurt. We have failed at making consequences long-term. We have failed at spelling out the consequences before the behavior ever even starts. My dad used to make it very clear, if you ever talk back to your mom, I'm going to knock you into tomorrow just so I can knock you into the next day again. Look, consequences have to be clear, they have to be swift, they have to be to fit the punishment of whatever was done wrong, but they have to be there regardless. And without consequences, the teenager rules the roost. Number 5, difficult adolescents have the ability to think 2 steps ahead so they can unravel rules and consequences before you ever get to them. This might be my greatest gift as a parent, is that I was one of those kids who always knew how to manipulate, get around the rules, double step, zigzag, you know, double talk, double speak, make it happen. And now that I'm a parent, good luck trying to sneak something by me. It's not going to happen. And that's what made me a great youth pastor. Many times we'd come up with games and I'd think, now how would I cheat at this? I'd come up with 5 ways and tell kids, and you can't do this, 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 and this. And they'd be like, wow, how do you know we were going to do that? Because I used to be you. But don't underestimate their ability to think way ahead of you. So mom, dad, you have to stop and realize when you give a kid options, how might they manipulate those options to their advantage? Number 6, and finally, they are more skillful than their parents at confrontations. A teenager can talk you out of just about any consequence or any problem to your face and absolutely convince you that they are right and that they are innocent. They know how to push a parent's buttons, make the parent feel guilty, make the parent take on all the problems. Yes, you're right, it is my fault. Guess what? When the parent loses control, then the adolescent has the authority. Look, maybe you are somewhat to blame, but you never allow the teenager to shift the blame from his or her wrongful behavior. Look, the 5 aces a student has to manipulate a parent is running away, truancy, poor school performance, disrespect, and suicidal tendencies. You have to step up to those and face them head on, or they will manipulate you for the rest of your life. That's right, for the rest of your life, even when they're out of the house, even when they have their own family, they will manipulate you. So look around society. Look at what the youth of 30 and under are doing to our country. Why are we at where we are at in society? People are looting, rioting, destroying things with absolutely no fear of consequences. Look, there's an old saying, I heard it years ago, and it's so true. It says, the teachers are afraid of the principal. The principal is afraid of the school superintendent. The school superintendent is afraid of the parents. And the parents are afraid of the teenagers. And the teenagers, they're not afraid of anyone. Parents gave up control, and now the monkeys are running the cities. And again, adults are afraid to say no. Governors, politicians are afraid to say no. And what does scripture say? Train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. So, if we don't train up a child in the way he should go, he will go anywhere, do anything, and never quit being a child. Adulthood has escaped him by lack of training. The lesson? Parents, your kids don't need you to be their friend. They need you to be their parent. Step up and own the game. This is Garth Heckman at the David Lyons. Thanks for checking us out. Thanks for rating the podcast and sharing the podcast. And until tomorrow, keep slaying giants.